I've been watching now the second core of Mashle.
Oh, okay. It's on my list very high, but I haven't watched it yet.
Also been watching what I'm pretty sure is going to be unanimously looked back on as the show of the season, Delicious in Dungeon.
Oh, okay. I hadn't heard of that one.
Dungeon Meshi is just delightful. I've been watching it. It comes out weekly on Netflix.
Oh, I don't have Netflix. That's why. I don't want to pay for it.
It's the
Ads?
new
Come on, Netflix.
Trigger anime.
Oh, wonderful.
It's about a group of broke adventurers trying to re-raid a dungeon that they were almost killed in to recover the remains of their healer,
Damn.
and to save money, they team up with a very hungry dwarf who's voiced by Pro ZD in the English,
Oh, God, I love him.
and eat their way through the monsters in the dungeon to save on grocery
So what you're
expenses.
saying is I need to re-up my Netflix subscription.
Immediately.
Shout out to Trigger and Netflix. I mean, you know, Netflix, what are you doing with the ads and the password crackdown? Come on. But like, Brand New Animal, phenomenal. Cyberpunk, phenomenal. Just a good collab there.
And Scott Pilgrim Takes Off, and Pluto.
Oh yeah. Then we've also got the One Piece adaptation. We have
Yeah.
Avatar, which is coming out really soon. The Last Airbender, not Blue People.
Yamcha live action.
Is that out or is that coming?
It's already out.
I saw the car accident from
Yeah, but then we also, to be fair
that.
though, if we back up a couple years, we have Death Note and Bleach and Full Metal. Is there a Bleach one?
No, it was Rurouni Kenshin.
That's it. But Full Metal and Death Note and then a long before that, we had non-Netflix and Dragon Ball. So we've come a long way as far as adaptations and new things go. Thanks, I guess, Netflix. You didn't have anything to do with Dragon Ball, but it's such a mess that I feel like it deserves the conversation wherever we can bring it up. I'm a piece of trash. I love Isekai. So I watched Gate, which is imagine if a portal to another world opened and Japan responded with overwhelming military force.
Yeah, what if the isekai came to you?
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. If not, it fills pretty much every Isekai trope you can think of, but it's really, really good. And then in another world with my smartphone, I somehow made it through. Another trashy isekai with pretty much every possible random anime thing you can think of that fits into the isekai genre.
You'll get those.
Shout out to Escapism 2024. What's up? And I made it 15 minutes into Nekopara. Not gonna finish that one. Sorry, y'all. It's cats as
Oh.
women, but not in the way you want. I don't know how else to phrase that.
I don't think there's any way.
There's room for demi-humans in anime, and I love it, but not Nekopara.
That's fair.
It's like, what if the cats acted like regular cats, but they're humanoid? And like, I get, I don't
Okay,
know.
you see, now that's the cat girls that I'd want. Like, I'm not gonna fuck them.
Okay, so we have humans with tails and ears, actual cats.
Yeah. Like I want like a house cat, like the fairy tale cats.
Okay, I stopped Fairy Tail after they transferred to a different world. They isekai'd themselves in a non-isekai series.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell happens after
Well,
that.
you know, you see, that's where you dropped off then, because that's the part that has exactly the big buff man cat that I'm talking
Oh,
about.
wonderful. Pretty much everybody I've talked to is like, yeah, you probably should have stopped watching there. I'm like, oh, okay, cool, thanks. That's good to know, because
Yeah.
I couldn't get through it.
You know what they say, after the first episode, it's only worse from there.
Wonderful. Yeah. Anyway, we're not here to talk about any of that, even though we just did. We are here to talk about
Tengoku Daimakyo.
Welcome back to part two of Podkatsu's retrospective and review of Heavenly
retrospective.
Delusion. Content warnings for this episode, as well as our last one, will include violence, sexual assault, and body horror.
Additional trigger warning for suicide. Also, spoilers in case you somehow made it through the last episode and you were like, Well, I don't want to know anything about this series.
Yeah. If you don't think it's spoilers until episode 6, then this is not the episode for you.
We're picking up where we left off around episode 5. Quick recap. I think we talked about they got off the boat. We've talked a little bit about
the weed fish.
The weed fish, how the power of weed chip saved them from a fish man eater, which is just exactly what we want in this day and age. Mm-hmm. Hashtag legalize it. Legalize it.
Hashtag weagle-wise
it. Legalize it.
Please.
Widowy. Anyway, hashtag legalize it.
Widowy suffering from a heavenly delusion.
Can that be the episode name, please?
Heavenly delusion.
Widowy suffering from a heavenly delusion.
Yeah, I really want to specify here that that's ooh-woo. We'll get some subtitles on there if there's a video of this.
Wonderful.
This is like heavenly delusion.
Yeah, speech impediments are a real thing.
Yeah,
I'm not making fun of those people. Just let me blanket statement that one.
Yeah,
we're here to talk about heavenly delusion.
Yes, we are.
We're really gonna try this time. So, quick recap: Haruki,
Kiriko was the sister.
Yes,
Haruko is the boy.
Yeah,
the brain.
Yep,
and then
Haruki.
Kiruko is the character who travels with Maru, because he notes in the beginning that her name is similar to Hiruko.
Gotcha. I watched this on one night. Something slipped by. Not other things, as we'll get to.
I watched this over several nights, and I missed things that he noticed.
Yeah, so it's a give and take. So, the name is
Kiruko.
Kiruko. Okay, cool. I'll mess it up again. That's whatever. Fine. Kiruko. Anyway, and Maru, they got off the boat.
Bear.
Maru beats up some guys in an arcade.
Mm-hmm.
Kiruko picks up a map that has 100% safe water, and then they encounter a bear when going to look for it. That's kind of where we left off. And we're gonna divvy this one up a little bit more, because the way we were following the narrative last time was a little confusing. So right now we're just gonna go through to the end of the season, the hell narrative, and then we'll back up and hit heaven. So they go for the water
and find a horribly fucked up bear,
which they think is a man eater. They use the Kilo Beam to instead of shooting it, like I feel like would be the normal thing to do, to shoot a pillar and crush it. I don't know. They keep doing that a lot. With the ray gun. It's like, we won't shoot the thing directly. We'll shoot something else and it'll work in our favor, which I guess makes sense, but it's the end of the world. Just do the thing. They trap it. Maru comes in and tries to Midas touch him. And is like, oh yeah. Huh, this isn't working. Oh shit, it's a bear, not a man eater. Just a horribly fucked up bear. And then they get chased up a pillar.
Yeah, it's like the support of a highway.
Yeah. And they drop the battery. They have to get the battery. And how do you incentivize young men?
Offer to let him cough up fuel. And before the sentence is even all the way out of her mouth, he is already hurtling towards the ground and retrieving the battery.
It's like, hey, get this battery. You can touch my tits. And he's jumps at it.
I'm about it.
I saw that clip before I ever watched this series, and we get to this part, and I'm like, oh, that's where it's from. I was like, I knew they looked familiar.
It is really kind of astounding how truly hilarious Heavenly Delusion was sometimes. Right?
Like, as far as the plot of this series goes, the difference between the dark and the light is just night and day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to say that. It is truly hilarious, but also some of the saddest shit you'll ever watch.
On God.
On God. No cap. I'm Gen Z, believe it or not.
I'm older than you?
I think so.
Oh, that's right. I'm a couple years older than you.
Really? We're Gen Z. Y'all are millennials.
I'm like right on that. I'm edging a millennial, and I'm also close to being one.
Guess technically I'm a zillennial, but fuck it. I'm owning it. I'm Gen Z. And I want to be part of this generation.
I was born in 97.
I was born in 97. You're Gen Z.
Oh.
We're like on the edge. See, I used to be this person.
Who's the millennial I've been edging?
There was a part in my life where I was adamant that I was a millennial because I was born before the new millennium. And as I've gotten older, maybe it's my fear of death and old age or my love for the culture that Gen Z has developed. I have fully accepted that I'm Gen Z and get out of here with that bullshit, millennials. So she promised to let him cop a feel. David cop a feel.
And they really just put it to him. I mean, he gets that battery back. They hear the bum, 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 everything. They're back.
Anyway, they shoot the bear in the fucking face like they should have in the beginning. Whatever.
Yeah. The bear melterizer.
Yeah, good new name. Midas Touch, the bear melter.
So they go to find a lodging for the night, having dealt with thugs, bears, and all the like.
Yeah, they figure out that the 100% safe water is a setup.
Yeah.
Based off the thugs that Maru beat the fuck out of with dead cold eyes.
They were luring people into the bear's lair so it would kill them. Then they could rob them once it falls asleep.
Them specifically, though, because they had a grudge. Yeah. They were like, wait until the boss. And then the boss fucking was attacked by the bear when he was trying to ambush him.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think the bear, they didn't know the bear was there and they were going to ambush them as the gang. And then the boss of the gang also runs into the bear because they were trying to ambush them and use the 100% safe, clean water as like the most obvious fucking trap known to man. It's the end of the world. And somebody was like, I'll sell you a map with 100% safe, clean water. Okay. No.
Yeah. It really is amazing to me that these two are the dumbest fuckers alive.
Yeah, it's wild. They get by on somehow sheer luck, but also brilliance. It's like the weed will dry out the fish, but there's clean water.
It's like a D&D party solving a puzzle that is put this circular piece through this circular hole.
Right. The number of D&D stories that start with a DM going, I found this children's puzzle in a book. It took my party 3 days. But anyway, they find lodging. Maru tries to go in for the goods.
Right.
A little touchy squeeze.
Denied.
Denied. He does it in a very aggressive way. It is somewhat uncomfortable. But then the innkeeper, who is younger than them, actually, probably about the same age.
I think the innkeeper was the same age as him.
Yeah. So about the same age then. Was like, nah, don't be a pervert. And then takes him back to his room. Is like, be a pervert with me. And just strips. Is like, I'll charge you money, use my body, and then in the act of that...
He touches her.
Not, and, like...
I mean, he's feeling her chest. He's...
Well, she's kind of making him feel her chest, but, like...
Yeah, but, like, he's like, well, shit, you're not really my type, but why not? And he definitely has a little bit of pre-nut, post-nut clarity after this whole thing. He definitely is like, oh... I got Willie backed up for a second there and I regret it, but he touches the Hiruko heart shard thing that's inside all of the man eaters.
Yeah. So up until this point, when he's touched a man eater, he can like crush its soul heart. Mm-hmm. Kind of like in Demon Slayer. It's every time it happens, I think about in Demon Slayer on Mugen Train, how they like, are trying to kill their souls in the sleep. That's exactly what I think about every time he reaches in and kills these thing. He's been killing the man eaters or just finishing them off by like crushing their core.
Yeah.
And then he touches this woman whose name I forget.
The queen of hotels.
The queen of brothels, really. The future queen of brothels.
Wait, do they say brothels in English?
I don't remember if it's brothels, but she's going to sleep with all her clientele and take all their money. It's essentially the plot of her future plans. But he can like sense the soul, like the center, the core, right?
Right.
And immediately screams like, get the fuck in here, to what is just the most stereotypical anime happening in the entire series. Cause she's naked.
Yeah, she's naked and straddling him on the futon right. as Kiruko walks in.
And it's just like, it's wild.
And then, I'm pretty sure that it cuts immediately to the next scene of him, like, in full doges, with a big lump on his head.
Yeah, but they don't really go over, like,
why?
Yeah.
But I guess as
we find out later.
Yeah. But. Like as the conversations tonight have begun revealing that Heavenly Delusion is really not a show that tells you what is happening at all. It is things that happen, and then it is really left to you and your own brain cells to figure out.
Yeah, there's like little crumbs along the way, and you go, ooh, a piece of candy. And then you think about, oh, that's how it fits into that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they clear up things, and she explains her whole goal for having very clean futons. Mm-hmm. Nothing like a clean futon.
Yeah, nothing like clean beds in general.
Yeah, I've never slept on a futon. Not like a Japanese futon.
Slept on a couple.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they comfortable? It's supposed to be good for your back. Yeah. Oh, well. so anyway, all right. They move on after they come to an understanding that he's not going to pay to sleep with her with batteries, I think is what she wanted of the thing.
Yeah, she wanted to trade for some of their items.
Yeah, some of their items. Sex work is real work, but yeah. And they decide to start because the clean water was a bust and they can't get clean water. They're going to go seek out the Immortal Order, which when they got off the boat earlier, one of the people who was on the boat was trying to convince them to escort him to the Immortal Order because the rumor is you can live for fucking ever because they'll implant you with monster man-eater parts. And he's like, look at my man-eater parts. And it's a jar of just fucking slush. And they're like,
he's like, no, it was man-eater parts 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, let me not go and get the fucking man-eater from the boat. I don't know. Fucking, you had one on the boat, y'all.
Bozo. Anyway,
what a bozo. It was contaminated with too much weed. And so they're going to go seek out the Immortal Order.
On the way, they meet the, what was it, the group of detractors.
It's like the Lumillion?
Tinfoil hat
people. Tinfoil hat. When they meet them, because they're trying to seek out the Immortal Order, because there's, you know, any place like that that is highly medical capable, they're seeking out a place like Heaven, but they're also looking for Robin the Doc. And, you know, the Doc might fit that. So as they're seeking out the Immortal Order, they're approached by a group of people who are like, they take people in and they cut off their legs and replace them with this. And the woman has a prosthetic leg.
He creates inhuman cyborgs, abominations of man and machine.
Yeah, there was like a creature or a thing in there. It had no limbs, but it just begged for help. And like, it paints a pretty scary picture. Mm-hmm. But they're like, they keep a man-eater in the basement. Go kill it. And Maru and Kiruko.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got it that time. That's like their whole thing, because they attracted people by putting up a sign that says, we kill man-eaters. But they almost wrote, we kill man and eat them.
Yeah.
And they fixed it. But anyway, they came up. They're like, come go kill this man-eater in the basement of the Immortal Order. Mm-hmm. They say, well, that seems sketchy. Fuck it. We're in.
Yeah, they're like, we do that.
Yeah, that's what we do.
And they get down there and they're like, what is this? They're pushovers. It's like little crawling, almost baby-like barnacle kind of things that are not even moving.
Yeah, they're also super paranoid, as you find out. It's like the peak paranoia for them, because they're like, gas? What if they're pumping gas into the basement? Mm-hmm. Oh, what could happen? Oh, man-eaters, gas, basement, betrayal. They're like freaking the fuck out. Which, now that I think about it, could be like subtle influence from the man-eater that was down there, because mm-hmm. when they find the full body of the man-eater that isn't these little barnacle-looking mother grubber motherfuckers, we're talking like what they were finding was like this big. If you're listening to this in an audio, like a football size, maybe slightly bigger, like a professional football, not the shit you threw around when you were 6 years old. Yeah. About that size.
Mm-hmm. Like a truly robust loaf of bread.
That's actually a great size reference.
Yeah. Well, once they find the main body, it is truly the goon boring sock that time forgot.
Yeah. they're like, okay, we could do this. And then Kiruko, I say slowly,
fails her intelligence save and is trapped with this horrid illusion.
Crit failure.
Well, yeah, where she is knocked down and eaten alive by the little tiny fuckers.
And none of, you don't know this at the time, and I'm like, I don't know how they're going to fucking retcon this. She loses an arm and like a leg. And she's like, no! And I was like, and at first, because of what they were prefacing in what the Immortal Order is, I was like, oh shit, people have been losing their limbs to this man-eater downstairs, and that's why everybody's getting fucking prosthetics.
Until Maru, Prince Charming style.
I forgot about that.
Kisses Kiruko to snap her out of the illusion that the man-eater has trapped them both in.
Yeah.
But I suppose he was able to break out of it using his Maru touch.
Yeah, the innate special ability. Yeah, I think maybe that's not a great lesson to take from the show. Don't wake people out of delusions with kisses. So anyway, Maru plants a big old kissy kiss.
Big old revivifying smoocher.
It was like, that's the one, that's all I could think of, horny bastard. But it does work. And they're broken out of the illusion, the spell, whatever you want to call that.
Another gives them, man-eater reduced to goo.
Yep. And then Maru Midas touches him and it's dead. And they're like, oh, there was a man-eater. Oh, we killed it. And then all of a sudden, a doctor appears with a gun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with a gun. And that is, I went over the names at the beginning of this for myself and I already forgot. Shiro.
Dr. Uzumi?
Uzumi. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who the hell is Shiro? Yeah, Dr. Uzumi is like, huh, you really did kill that man-eater, didn't you? I think you can help me out. Cut the black. And then
he takes them upstairs through his hospital.
Yeah, so this institute that is supposedly like horrific and ruining people's lives and cutting off their limbs, it's like kids and elderly and families, and like he's helpful and he's like, hey, I can, you know,
it's like people with like gangrenous wounds or
right.
crushed limbs. He performs surgery and does his best to give them functioning prosthetics with the tinkered together junk he's able to scavenge.
Right. And they're all like asking for advice. He's like, you need oil here and here. Make sure you, you know, like it's kind of like a nice overall like vibe of like he helped us and he's a nice guy, which, you know, is, if you hadn't noticed, not what they were told. Mm-hmm. And eventually Uzumi.
Yeah.
Let's go. I'm getting better at the names, y'all. Yeah, I'm terrible with that. Well, still, I remembered Omar's name the first episode, though, so I got that one up on him.
There weren't any subtitles, so I didn't.
Burn! eventually, he's like, I need your help. And he drags them to
the
last room on the left.
The nightmare patient.
The nightmare,
The protesters were talking about.
He leads them into the room. They're like, oh. He's like, I need you to kill her. Because they were like, oh, this must be who the other group was talking about. This suffering human being who they're keeping alive and is a monster. Uzumi is like, hey, I need you to help me put an end to the life of this person. They have no limbs, one eye.
His eye.
Yeah. Uzumi has an eye patch. And so he donated an eye so that she could see.
Because his cells didn't have the Hiruko disease.
Yeah, so that's when we find out, we're talking to the doctor, who's like, so there's this disease that people have. And when you have it, your body slowly degenerates, and eventually you'll turn into a man-eater. Which, if you've connected the dots thus far, the innkeeper, the king of hotels that they interacted with earlier, that's one of the reasons Maru was able to reach in and like touch the core soul. She must be infected with whatever this is and will eventually live a not so great life. And one of the big reasons that a lot of people have come to the Immortal Order or have been helped by the Immortal Order is because they have these infected limbs, right? Part of this disease. So they slice them off and give them prosthetics. They're extending their lives and making sure there's less man-eaters in the world. So pretty much the Immortal Order, kind of good people. Mm-hmm. Shocker, right? Who would have known that there was different narratives and that some people just wanted to take advantage of this group? Because
at the same time, out in front of the hospital, the group that contracted Maru and Kiruko to kill the man-eater, by their own blunders, drops their leader on her head.
Yeah,
where she dies.
Well, she didn't actually die, right? She, they kill her, right? Die?
Did I thought they?
Anyway, they incite a riot based on these protesters, and they're trying to take over where the Immortal Order is, because turns out they have a good building with good resources and power, which is like a big thing in the apocalypse. Shocker.
Mm-hmm. and it's just all of these jealous whack jobs.
They start fucking murdering people. Like just like even the dude who was helping them, because Maru and Kiruko, they have to sneak in, and so they have somebody on the inside who helps them. And then the motherfuckers come and they shoot him, or they like slice his head off or some shit.
Yeah,
it's brutal. Anyway, they're a bunch of dicks, is what it is. But as this is all going on back in the Immortal Order, Uzumi is like, "I saw what you did to that man eater. Can you help me put an end to the life of this person?
I keep cutting the pieces off, but it keeps coming back."
Right. There's only so much you can cut off before it doesn't stop coming back.
Is it communicated through?
He like set her up to Stephen Hawking herself through a pad, essentially.
Yeah, that's right. She was like, she was Stephen Hawking text messages.
Yeah.
And she
wants to see the sky before she dies.
Yeah. She had wanted to see the sky one more time. So they take all the equipment and wheel her outside just so she can get this one last glimpse of, like,
with her one good eye, which isn't her eye. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of emphasis on these eyes, and we'll talk about why that is later. They make a point to show both the eyes, and it's a really important plot point. They take her outside through a window, a carrier out of what was essentially her ICU unit. That he's not a doctor. He's not a real doctor. He just has been able to like trade for parts and get different equipment and has like figured out how to amputate and keep her alive as long as possible.
He's read all the books in the hospital library.
Yeah. They take her outside. They're going to kill her. They kill her.
They grant her peace.
Yeah. Assisted suicide, not murder.
And then they're like, "All right, Dr. Man, you know what this bird on my laser gun is? Tell us where to go." And he's like, "Yes, of course. Just give me one moment to gather my things."
Yeah, they have to evacuate because they're getting invaded by the fucking dickheads outside.
Yeah.
They all abandon the building.
They get all of the people, the innocent people that the doctor had been treating out as best they can.
Yeah. And they do. And they go off towards the next city and
they're waiting for the doctor to come down.
Because they were all there and defending the place because she needed to be there.
Because there's literally nowhere else you could take a mutilated,
I believe it was Miruko.
Torso.
Is the name they were using at that point. My handwriting is terrible. I think that's what I wrote down. But she needed to be there. And so once she was dead, they could leave and it wasn't really as much of a big deal. And this other order of dickheads comes in. They're going to die anyway. They didn't get all the man-eaters in the basement. Mm-hmm. Good for them. But as they're fleeing, Uzumi needs a little time to himself. Goes to the roof with his dearly departed. And shoots himself in the head. Which is just such a fucking bummer.
That one had me feeling truly fucking empty. Like, I don't think Tearjerker or Heart Wrencher is accurate enough to the just fucking despair of Heavenly Delusion, now that we've talked about some of the strings tightening.
Yeah.
I binge watched this like truly depressed. And I was like, I need some escapism. And I was like, not this kind of escape.
Yeah.
And so I was watching it just more and more traumatized.
Yeah, it's just torture porn in that situation.
I did not at all make the association that heaven and hell were split times.
Yeah, they touch on it a little bit, but it's like the last episode where that is like really, really focused on. It's like 12 and 13 where you go like, oh, fuck. So the name of the woman who they assisted suicide, I think it's Miruko. I'm not 100% sure. We're just going to refer to her as Mimihime because that's who it is. Spoiler alert. But they are, in fact, the same people from Heaven and the split narrative, which we'll get to here in a little bit.
Heaven or Hell.
Heaven or Hell. Heavenly Delusion. Boom. It's the name of the show. They're talking about Heaven now. Yeah, congrats. We've reached heaven narratively. But and then Uzumi is a bowl cut guy.
Yeah. Shiro?
Shiro. That's it. Thank you. Names. Not good at them. Told you last time. who I think in the first part of this, we talked about how outside of a closet, he's like, I want to eat you, but not in a food way. I want to lick you. Is that what it was? I want to lick you, but not eat you like food. Yeah, that's like everybody's like, I'm going to kiss this person and I want to lick you. And certain people have sex. We'll get to that. But the fall is when I finally realized, and that's when they really nail in on the, we'll talk about the fall a little bit more, but they focus on the eyes a little bit. And then they frame Shiro in a way that you go, oh, that's who that is. You piece the things together and they were together ever since. But so Mimihime is the person who was just assisted suicide. Shiro Uzumi shot himself, unassisted suicide, right. Regular suicide. But he held in his hand as he was doing so a button. That button had the symbol that was also on the Q beam. It's a bird.
It was a waterfowl. Heron?
Is it a heron?
Peacock?
For all you ornithology individuals, I'm wrong. You ever want to go to Japan?
Very much so.
It's expensive.
It's so expensive.
Especially from the East Coast.
Definitely.
You know, I think I have a solution. How about we make a Patreon?
Ooh. Like, one with a 7-day free trial and early access to episodes, maybe even input on future episodes and fan mail?
Yeah, I think we could do 3 distinct tiers.
Whoa. Ranging from early episode access and exclusive video clips to full-length video of episodes and on-episode fan mail?
Sounds perfect to me. And you want it's even better? What if we made it affordable? $4 a month? That's a cup of coffee.
Exactly.
$7 a month? That's a cup of coffee and then another cup of coffee.
$10 a month? That's one cup of coffee if you put a bunch of extra shit in it.
The Podcatsu Patreon. Subscribe. So they go up after they realize they hear a big bang. They go up the stairs to the roof.
And they realize the whole universe was in a hot, dense state when nearly 13 billion years ago expansion started. Wait.
The Earth began to cool. Their monotropes began to drool. The Neanderthals developed tools. They built the wall.
They built the pyramids.
Mass science history unraveling the mystery. It all started with a big bang.
And he killed himself.
Leonard is the saddest character in all of shows. It's so upsetting.
Big Bang Leonard was definitely the most tragic character in all of Heavenly Delusion.
Anyway, they go upstairs. God, I don't want to be laughing when I talk about this. They go upstairs to investigate because they heard a gunshot. And they find in his possession a button that had the bird.
The bird of omen.
That is also on the gun that they carry around.
Yes.
Which was also on the boxes that were on the boat that had the food. It's all coming together, right? Mm-hmm. Not laughing.
No.
This is a real plot point.
Yes.
And they were like, oh, it's the same symbol. And then, boom, earthquake. Because it's Japan, and that's just a thing that happens all the goddamn time.
Yep.
They hear a building collapse, and they decide to go and investigate.
Yeah, from there, they run into the man with the van who claims to have answers for their plans. He's like a traveling bard informant who...
Phenomenal hair.
Sells ghost stories.
Great poncho.
After paying... Yeah. His name is Eleven. he's been doing strange things.
But so they go investigate the building that fell due to the earthquake because they're like, we can loot it because end of world, we need things. Mm. They run into Joichi and he has a car, which is just a rare sight.
Yeah.
Apparently he has information and they pay him for that information. And he tells many a story that don't give them information
at all
and may or may not be true. Like the origin of their current world and situation.
So aliens and a meteor.
Yeah. Yep. And then the walled in town, which is not walled in, but the walled in
the town surrounded.
I hate Henry David Thoreau. Sorry. I really don't like Thoreau. Anyway, so the story of the walled in pond, fuck off the row, which is also maybe or maybe not true. Jirichi, he likes to throw out some stories.
He claims that he was a breeding pig kept by a town of dominatrix barbarian women.
Which is a wild ass tale to spin.
He claims that they used him to impregnate one of them. And then after the child was a boy, they were going to kill the child.
Or they didn't take care of it. So all the other breeding pigs.
Oh, that's right. They left the boys with the pigs to become future pigs.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
All sorts of heinous. So he ran and escaped with others one night, but there was an alarm.
The mother and the mother's partner.
Yeah, that's right. The mother and the mother's partner fell in love with him.
Yeah, because they had a kid and, you know, just, I mean, that's not the only reason you fall in love with people, but I think that plays a part here.
Yeah.
So they tried to escape so they could have a better life.
Mm-hmm. Someone pulls the alarm. The mother and the partner are killed. The child is taken back.
Yeah, and only one person escapes.
And who is Junichi? Juichi.
Because what happens, he's like, and I was that escapee. So he lies at first with a fake tattoo. And then when they tell him to fuck off, he leaves because they're asking for information about this bird symbol.
Mm-hmm.
He backs up all weird to block a building. And it turns out that he just wanted to extort them for money. And if they saw the building, they would have just checked the building because the building that he blocks with his van has the symbol they're looking for. Who'd have fucking thought? And he extorts them for money to tell them tall tales and drives off. And then they explore the building and find out
it's like an administrative facility for this network of schools.
It's like the Takahara Academy is what it's called, I think. Anyway, and they discover paperwork talking about how there's this administrative building, there's another facility somewhere, and all that jazz. And they decide to leave because it's fucking creepy in there. And who do they run into as they're leaving Takahara Academy?
But Juichi again.
He's back for more. He needed their money. Now he needs their help. Turns out his story about the walled-in town was true. And he had a second tattoo, which was not a fake tattoo. That is the real tattoo from the story. And he actually was a man, pig, sex slave. Wild.
Yeah. So they go and they check out the place.
Mm-hmm.
And they find everybody frozen. They come under attack by a creeping chill.
Oh, also, this is an important plot point. We get cross-dressed Maru.
That's true. They did dress him up as a girl.
Yep. Anyway, so they go to the walled-in town. Everyone's gone. The wall's broken.
Mm-hmm.
And they run into something.
Yes, they fall under this creeping, the creeping ice attack. And they're like, oh, what's going on? I'm getting so sleepy. I might just curl up and die. And it's a cold spider.
It's worst ways to go in this universe, to be honest.
Yeah. Oops, you made a fucky wucky. Now take a forever nap.
So there's a man eater in the building. Presumably that's why it was evacuated and all that shit. There was a lot of stuff left behind. Like, it wasn't like a planned event. Like, everybody got the fuck out. And so they eventually fight this thing. We'll spare you the details in case you still want to watch this show. We'll leave you something to the imagination. But they don't kill it. They fight it. They escape.
They wound it.
But they leave. They go back to Juichi. Yeah, as they're coming back to be like, we went there. No one's left. Everyone's gone.
We got your son, though, man.
Yeah, a group of guys comes up and there's like, are you man pig number 11? It's like, you're man pig number 9 or whatever. Which he's like, wait, don't call us that.
Like, we've taken names now.
Yeah. It's
like, me too.
We saved your son. And so you're like, oh, that's great. And they go back to where the former sex slave
now got their little bro ranch homestead going.
Yep. And
yeah, they make some soup. They're having a good old time.
They have a barrel bath. It's the best type of bath. And it's like a good celebration. And they all go to sleep. And then the cold strikes again.
And after once again dealing with the fuckery at foot.
How does the cold work?
Yeah. It's the guy's son. right? He's like a hybrid Hiruko.
Yeah, because she's like, we have to get away from the cold, but the kid is the cold, right? And it's kind of interesting because up until now, we've met a couple people who have been infected with whatever disease this is that turned them into man-eaters, right? Mm-hmm. And Maru is able to touch and feel that and figure it out. One of them is the innkeeper woman from earlier. Mm-hmm. The other one was Mimihime, who they assisted suicided.
Looking back at it now, the fucked up crow from episode 2.
Yeah,
that was probably actually the bed and breakfast lady's son.
Yeah, because they talk about it like maybe it was eaten by and absorbed by the man eater that was there. But now that we know this information, it could actually be. But this is the first time where it's like, here is a hybrid model.
Someone like Maru.
Right? Yeah, someone like Maru, who apparently has an ability innate to being maybe part man eater, and it isn't consuming their body. I don't know why it happened. Maybe they were infected when they were pregnant, something like that. He's essentially a demigod now in this world with superpowers. And Lord, this series goes on. I want to meet this kid later. But they figure that out. The man-eater didn't, in fact, follow them home. And now they have a good night's rest and take the car the next day to go looking for heaven again. Everybody's happy. They go to pull away and he fucking stalls it and grinds the gears and fucking about to rip the transmission out of this classic, beautiful vehicle. I love those vans so much. but then we
figure it out, right?
Yeah. We don't go back to looking for heaven. We actually jump back to Joichi. Joichi. Damn it. Joichi.
He gets Mr. Number 9, who recognized him earlier. He gets him all alone.
Yeah, I don't remember if it actually is number 9, but it's just numerical.
Yeah.
Was it 9?
I don't think it was number 9 necessarily, Six? But it's the same guy who greets him earlier.
Yeah, we find out that the guy who saved his child, essentially, is also the person who alerted the guards when they were trying to escape. And he lost a lot of time with his family, his loved Two ones.
Lovers.
Yep. And homie said,
we don't let go of that.
Yeah.
That rage simmers.
Yeah. We don't forgive and forget. We're elephants here. Yeah. We just remember.
Just a bunch of pissy elephants.
And slits his fucking throat in front of the kid. And there's blood everywhere. And then they dip.
Yeah.
They're like, well, this has been a fun time hanging out with my bros. We're going to take the car. And we're going to run and leave these behind. And we're going to Steve Miller Band this thing. Take the money and run.
Yeah. Or I guess, wouldn't it be Tweety?
Right. And everybody's like, hey, wasn't that our fucking car? he runs into more people from the group and passes them in the car. And they're like, oh, watch out, you asshole. And they go, hey, wait, isn't that our car? And so that's the end of what we hear from Joichi. And now we've got a skill upgrade. And they've acquired a car.
Yep.
Haru and Kiriko. Getting these names.
Plugging on. They finally find this large town where actual reconstruction efforts are being held.
Yeah, they run into, it's called the industry, the reconstruction, what is it? The
Ministry of Reconstruction. The Ministry of
Reconstruction. That's it. Thank you.
Because they try to buy something at a stand and they're like, we don't take money here. We use chips.
So earlier on, they talk about the Ministry of Reconstruction during the flashback about how they've been taking people with useful skills and like they might take you. And it's kind of a boogeyman story. And then they run into this like reconstructed kind of place where there's like flourishing almost social structure and offices and registries and new forms of commerce.
The re-inking of the social contract.
Yeah, essentially. And it's then that they find out that this might be the place where they can find some of the people they're looking for. Not quite heaven, but maybe some others.
I apologize. We glazed over the fact that the whack jobs that were taking over the Infinity... or the Order of Infinity's hospital, one of the whack jobs who put them up to kill the Hiruko recognized Kiruko's photo of Robin.
Yes. Said, and said he was some there time here.
2 years previous. So they knew they were on the right track.
The Immortal Order.
The Immortal Sorry. Order.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
Was, not it took Order me a second to remember. I was trying to think about it too. We were just talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they recognized and said that he'd been there before. So they were kind of on the right trail. And but now that they've reached the Ministry of Reconstruction,
they think this might be the place to look. So they go to the offices and they're like, hey, we heard you're giving out free money, please.
Yeah, it's like register for the ministry in the office building and we'll give you money. Congrats. And they do it. And they're like, hey, do you, have you seen this motherfucker? They're like, oh, the boss. Yeah. Boss man.
Big Hoss. Big Doc Robin.
Oh, my God.
He works in the water treatment plant.
It's just all sunshine and rainbows. We're all excited, right?
Mm-hmm. And so they finish their registration. They get government subsidized housing.
Yeah, which is essentially put up the sign when you find an abandoned house you like.
Yep.
They do the fucking sock on the doorknob thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, it's squatter's rights. But you have your own personalized squatter tag.
Right. And there's like, I think, food rations and stuff like that.
Food rations, gas, electricity.
So it looks like this is going to turn into three parts. Sorry about that. I hope you really enjoy this show. Not this show, but the show we're talking about. I also hope you enjoy this show.
I kind of hope you enjoy this show more than Heavenly Delusion.
Yeah.
Because that was kind of a big deal this year.
Yeah, we... Well, at least we give you a little bit more comedy. I mean, there's comedy in Heavenly Delusion, but, you know,
yeah.
Just...
Not two clowns sitting on a very comfortable couch comedy.
Yeah. But we love you. Thanks for watching, listening, however you consume your media. We really appreciate you tuning in for one of the episodes of this show and the name I forgot for 2 seconds. This has been
Podkatsu.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the episode. For more content like this, or to begin your own podcasting journey, head on over to obsidian-productions.com.
You know what was different, though?
What?
Apple Jacks.
Did they change it? They're not anymore?
No, I think the cinnamon stick just got sober. I think he just went to rehab. Yeah. Everything else is the same, I'm pretty sure.
Did they drop the Jamaican thing from...
No, like, he actually went to rehab.
Oh, like the actual guy who did the voice?
The cinnamon stick.
No, the... What? Explain this one to me. The
cinnamon stick went to rehab. They had an intervention. They're like, man, you can't keep doing this to yourself.
He went to Applejack's rehab?
That's the horse, I think.